It's fine. I'm fine. It's
Everything's fine. I'm just dying.
fine. It's not a big deal. Welcome to the incoherent fangirl.
Where we have kind of flip-flopped. Now, after last week, I feel like a human compared to then, and now Karen is casually dying.
It's not a big deal, guys. It's fine. Just casually dying.
I can promise you it goes quick. It doesn't feel quick, but then you'll be on the other end of it and you're like, I'm living again.
Be great. I am Karen of Iona.
And I'm Mandy of Duskmere.
Welcome back to the podcast, friends. In
Bless your heart.
our timeline, it is February 29th, a very special day because it only exists once every 4 years. And
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
It makes no
Why?
sense. I don't get it. But here we are. And in y'all's timeline, it is somehow March 8th. I don't get that either.
I don't like
March?
that.
March. Ugh. Ugh. All right. Well, Mandy, what'd you do this week in
In fangirling, well, most importantly, let me just pull this my sleeve up for
fangirling?
Patreon. Erin Warner and I now have matching tattoos. So I got my Ignite tattoo. I grieve nothing, I take everything, just like Erin. So
Wow.
now me and my fictional boothang, my forever fictional boyfriend, and I have matching tattoos.
You know, it
So
starts to go downhill once you guys get matching tattoos. I don't know, you might have jinxed each other.
My sister and I have matching tattoos and we're fine. So
That's
no, Erin
different.
Warner
That's
and
your
I are
sister.
forever. Erin Warner and I are forever. Okay, he's not gonna do anything. Okay, he's not gonna do anything to upset me. His series is complete. Thank you very much.
So we think.
I would love more Erin Warner books, okay? I
Right?
would love more. I trust Tahata implicitly. She can give me a million more Shatter Me books, and I know I'm still gonna love Erin. So bring
We
it.
did.
All right. I finished Fatebreaker. Obviously, I can't tell you anything about it because spoilers, but it was my favorite of the three.
It's so good.
Still in love with Andri. There's a moment, and you'll know what I'm talking about, with my boothang, Charlie. Charlie. Oh, I
Yeah,
love him.
baby.
He's like
Yes.
a reformed former priest, and he's just a sweet baby angel. He's scared of everything, bless his heart, but he's a sweet baby angel. My microphone is.
It's got a mind of its own.
The show husband messed around with my microphone stand, and now it's just falling over.
Oh no.
It'll be
How
fixed by
rude.
next week. Don't worry. I've also still been reading Infinity Reaper by Adam Silvera. So it's the sequel to Infinity Sun. Still enjoying it. I'll probably finish it over the weekend. And then, since yesterday, I've been reading Lore of the Wilds by, I think it's Annalie. It could be Annalie Sprana. So I requested this on NetGalley like months ago. Okay. And I was like, God, I want to read it. I saw some videos on TikTok about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds so good. I request it. Nothing, nothing. I can't get any response, which is fine. Then I realized that it's pub day. And I'm like, okay, well, I really want to read it. And I've just finished Fatebreaker. So I'm going to see if it's at Target. And it was. There was one copy left at my Target. So I placed it on a drive up order. And I'm like, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to pick up my copy of Lore of the Wilds. So I get off work. I drive to Target. When I get to Target, I check my email just while I'm waiting. Your NetGalley request for Lore of the Wilds has been approved. Send it to your Kindle now, which was fine. Now I think I said it on social media. We support debut authors in this house. I don't regret buying it. Now I just have two formats that I can read it on. If I don't want to hold up the hardcover, then I have my Kindle. So anyways, it follows Lore Alemayehu. She's a 21-year-old human. I've got to look at my notes because it's a lot. She's a 21-year-old human living in the village of Duskmere, which is where I'm from this week. So Duskmere is it's like in the middle of this very super dangerous forest, and the humans are not allowed to leave this village. So like, this is where you were born, this is where you grew up, this is where you die. You don't leave. You're not allowed to leave, whatever. There are sentries posted all around the perimeter to keep you from leaving. And if you do happen to get past them, your safety is not guaranteed. If they don't shoot you down and drag you back, you better hope to God you don't find a fae in the woods.
Oh no, a fae in the woods.
These fae are scary, okay? So far, these fae are scary.
Okay.
A lot of them. So Laura works at her aunt and uncle's apothecary shop and helps run and kind of works at the children's shelter that the aunt and uncle run together. There have been hints to some sort of uprising that happened that killed a lot of the village children's parents, Laura's parents included. That feels like a spoiler, but it really isn't, because from the very beginning, it has to explain like why there's a children's shelter where all the
Right.
parents, including Laura's, have gone. So it seems spoilery. It's really not. That's very early on. And I still don't, I'm a little over halfway through and I still don't have a lot of information on like where the parents all went. So Laura has this best friend, Gray, she's known Gray basically her whole life. They're like each other's shadow. Her whole life is Gray. And then the kids at the shelter, like that's all she does. She goes and works at the apothecary all day. She puts the kids to bed, loves on them, and then goes and hangs out with Gray and his family. So one day Laura's working at the apothecary when two fae come in. Fae and Duskmere are like unheard of and immediate like terror. If you see fae in your store, in your home, on your street, you are like ducking into the house and boarding up all the windows and like running away. So Laura ends up selling them this book and she's like, hey, it's a rare item. She sells it to him for more than it's worth. I love her. She's like a little hustler. And they're intrigued by this book and she's like, yeah, it's in Aletherian, but I'm able to translate it. Like I can read Aletherian, which apparently is not as common as she thought. And she hasn't really said where she learned how to read this. So they leave with the book, and almost immediately there's an earth shake, is what it's called. It means an earthquake. And the apothecary is like leveled on top of her. She hides under a desk. As soon as the ground stops shaking, she like frantically runs out because she's worried, like, what is happening? Is my aunt and uncle okay? Gray, the kids. She hears Gray screaming her name and he's running to the apothecary to find her. Like, my person, I know my person was in there. So he finds that she's okay. She's got cuts and bruises, but other than that, she's pretty much fine. They run to the shelter to find it also nearly destroyed, but all of the people inside were unharmed. And so the kids are like, ah! Like now that the scary thing is over, they have forgotten all of that, and it's this grand story they have to tell about what you know how kids are. Once the bad thing happens, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to tell you, I was laying in the sand when the earth shake happened and it started shaking. So she knows that her aunt and uncle are never going to like financially recover from this, though, is the problem that she immediately faces, because the humans in this town are allowed just enough money to get by. Like everybody's in poverty, basically. Everyone in the village, there's no running a successful business and earning a ton of money. You have what you need to survive, and everything else goes to the fae outside of the town, up on the hill, whatever. So she's like, they're not going to be able to rebuild the apothecary or the shelter. What's going to happen to these kids? I like nobody has any idea. Like what's going on, and she can tell that they're stressed about it. So they all go to sleep. Well, the next morning, two more fae show up outside of the shelter and they say, we need the apothecary owner right now. She's coming with us. Well, Laura knows that her aunt is the driving force behind the shelter. So she's like, if I tell them that it's her and they take her, these kids will likely die. My uncle will die. So she steps up and says, it's me. I'm the apothecary owner. So she's taken to du from Duskmere to Windland Castle in the Fae's land. And she's prevented, or she's prevented. She's presented with an offer that she really can't refuse. So inside the castle, there's this forbidden library that like kills people when they try to go inside the doors. Yeah. And inside the library is a bunch of books that are written in Aletherian, which the Fae, one, can't get to, and two, can't read. So they want her to enter the library and translate all of these books for them and kind of inspect all of the books for any information that they may need, anything unusual, anything out of the ordinary, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, why am I going to walk into your murder library? Like, I'm not going to do that. And their answer was, we have reason to believe that you will be fine, which is true. She is able to get into the library, right? And it's this huge, wonderful place. And she says before, she's like, I can't, like, I have a life, I have people. So what they offer in return is that they will help pay, they'll pay her so that she can buy like clothes and food and stuff. They will help rebuild her village from the Earthshake, and they'll send money home to her aunt and uncle for rebuilding the apothecary and the shelter. And so she's like, I cannot turn that down.
Yeah.
People will die. And this is like life-saving aid. Mm-hmm. So she says yes. Something to know is she is a human. Like I've said, to the Fae, they consider humans like we consider roaches. Mm. Disgusting. Off-putting. They shouldn't exist. You got to squash them. So there are no friends to be found at first in this castle, right? She's got even the servants that are Fae won't sit with her at dinner. They're like, oh, I can't even eat because there's a human over there. Ugh. So she's assigned a guard and two younglings to help her. Well, the younglings are sweet little angels and they fall in love with her and she falls in love with them almost immediately because they're they're little kids who don't
have just babies.
The prejudice, yes, yeah, of their people. One of her guards that she's assigned is Asher. He has antlers and dimples. So what I know right now, I'm about halfway through, like I said, I know it's a romanticy with a love triangle between her and two Fae. It says that on the back of the book. So far, I haven't met the second Fae.
Okay.
Originally, if I hadn't read the back, I would have been like, it's got to be between Asher and Gray. Because as we've established, I live, breathe, and die for the boy from home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. Some of the books start talking to Lore. And it's so good. You guys have to go look up the cover. The cover is everything. I have like a black and white version for the Patreons, but like on the hardcover, like the Lore of the Wilds is like a holographic rainbow. This is Asher.
So
this is the other Fae. I'm not sure. I can't remember what his name is yet, but it is so good so far. I'm probably going to finish it. If not tonight, then tomorrow. Like I'm blowing through it, but it's so good.
Love.
That's what I did this week. What did you do this week?
I finished Fatebreaker and that was it. I started.
Good. Rest and relax.
I've been dying, so it's not a big deal. I finished Fatebreaker and we started the second Aetha Evergreen. Mm-hmm. It's called Aetha Evergreen and the Cursed Witch. And it picks up right where the last one left off. And it's action-packed from the start and I'm already like, what's gonna happen? And I'm already like, oh my god, this is gonna happen in this scene, and I can feel it coming, and then it happens and I'm like, curses. But also I knew it. So we're working through that. We're doing a chapter a night and I have to read it out loud because there is no audiobook. The audiobook. Which has been fun for somebody who does not always have a voice.
Yeah.
That's been interesting.
Yeah.
I just started a book today called At the End of the World by Nadia McHale. And it's about this girl who her older sister June, like, left. It's just her mom, and her sister because their dad passed away. And a little while back, maybe a couple years back, her sister left because they had like a falling out. So her sister left. They haven't seen or heard from her since. But now in the present day, the Earth is about to end because there is a like miles wide asteroid heading towards Earth.
Oh,
and they're like, well, Earth's going to end on this day. So just so you guys know. And so now her mom and her are like, we should go find her before the end of the world.
Yeah.
And so it's her and her mom and her boyfriend, Walter, who is very sweet, and a stray cat that followed them home one day. And Walter was like, I don't want him to die alone, while she's like, he's a mangy cat.
Yeah.
But he like convinces her mom. And so the cat has joined their little crew and she has named him Fleabag. Because
not Fleabag.
She's not a fan of the cat. And according to the back of the book, Walter's family is also joining them on this adventure. I have not met them yet where I am at in the book. I'm very early on, maybe like 15-20% in, so I'm not very far into it. But I already love Walter and I'm interested to see where it goes. Because end of the world books feel like so ominous.
Yeah.
Anytime you're like, well, it's not gonna be an
How are
HEA,
you gonna
guys.
recover from a miles wide
Yeah,
asteroid?
it's
You got
not
Bruce Willis going up to cut it in
right.
half?
And then, like, I guess the government had like known about it for months and was like trying to like multiple world governments had known for months, and they were trying to like, well, we'll do this, we'll send this into space to try and do this, or we'll build like heavy duty bunkers, and they're like, nothing's gonna work. And so all the world governments, like at the same time across the world, put out like basically the same statement, like,
Love on your
hey,
people.
just FYI, world's ending.
We're all gonna die.
Yeah, so that is where I am at right now. That's pretty much my entire week. I did start today. There's a new show. I think it's on FX. I'm watching it on Hulu, so I don't know, but it's called Shogun, and I don't really know
Josh started
anything about.
watching that.
I just saw commercials for it and it sounded good, and
It's not for
so
me.
I put it on. I'm only like, I don't know, 10 minutes into the first episode, so not much has happened
I
so
didn't make
far.
it much further than you. This isn't really a spoiler, but it's like just a thing that happens. Somebody gets boiled alive. And I was
Oh.
like, they scream a lot. And I was like, this is not, I'm putting on
You're like, I'm
headphones.
done.
Good
Bye-bye.
night. Good
Yeah.
night. I'm too squeamish for this.
It's, I don't know if it's gonna be throughout the whole, because it is set in like 1600 Japan. So I don't know if it's gonna be, there's a lot of subtitles so far, and I
Yeah.
don't know if it's gonna be throughout the whole show. So I was just like, well, I put it on, and then because I was on my lunch break, and then I needed to go pick up my daughter, and so I was like, well, I can't start it back up because I have to do work, and I can't do
Yeah.
both. Like, I have to
Yeah.
be able to read the subtitles. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
I don't know if he's
that's.
watched any more of it, but.
I think there's only one episode so far.
Oh,
So,
well.
yeah,
I think
like,
that
I think
explains
it
it.
just premiered yesterday or something like that, like this week. So, yeah, that has been my week so
That's
far. Not much going
okay.
on over here.
Everybody needs calm weeks like that, especially when you're like I told you last week, I couldn't, like, when you get that feeling that bad, I can't even read.
I was like, I do that's I'm just casually dying, guys. It's fine. It's
Yeah.
fine. I'm fine.
Next week, you're going to be like, I feel great. What is happening?
God, I hope so.
Well, do you have a fictional boyfriend to help you feel better?
It's Andrew Trelland. Still. The
Love
love
him.
of my life. I love
Angel.
him. I love him. I love him. I love him. I never want to let him go. That's my baby. That's my baby. I hope that Victoria Aveyard does like a novella collection for Realmbreaker, like she did with Red Queen. Just
Maybe.
so maybe, I don't know. I'd love to revisit all of our friends, you know,
Yeah.
a couple years later and see
Oh, yeah.
what's going on. It'd be really
I'm with
nice.
ya.
You know, the ones that survive.
No,
Did you see the, I think it was a TikTok with Epic Reads where Victoria checks in at like the publisher
yeah.
And
And all
everybody
of their
just keeps
things are,
asking,
does Erida survive?
who dies?
Does Andrew survive?
And
Does Terrison get through this?
it ends with her going to her first event with, I think, Danielle Clayton. And she
And
even asked
even
her.
Danielle asks. Yeah, I
It's so
love it.
funny. So funny. I guess you guys will just have to read to find out.
Yep, for sure.
Anyways, do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
This is not my fictional boyfriend this week. This is my fictional boyfriend for forever. It's Aaron freaking Warner. I match tattoos with him. It's serious, okay? It's serious. I don't even have a tattoo with my, well, my husband has a tattoo for me. I don't have a tattoo for my husband, but I have an Aaron Warner tattoo.
Great
My
wife.
husband has a wedding ring tattoo because he can't wear a wedding ring to work. I did not pressure him to do that. He just woke up one day when he had no tattoos and he was like, I want to get a tattoo today. I'm going to get this band logo that he loves and I'm going to get a wedding ring. And I was like, okay,
I
I'm going to keep
support
wearing
this.
my ring. But
Oh,
yeah, we're going to go with Aaron Warner because he's the best of all the best fictional men. I need to reread Shatter Me. My problem is, it's not a problem. It's a great problem to have. But we got guests coming on the podcast, and I really want to read their books. I really do.
yeah.
But at the same time, I want to reread Throne of Glass so bad that, like, my soul hurts. I've said it on this podcast before. I'm going to say it again. I miss Dorian Havyard so much. I feel like I could die from it.
What we need is actually what we need is to reach out to Sarah J. Maas's people and get her on the podcast.
I would love that.
I realize that she just had a book come out and probably won't have one for like at least a year, but like she can still come and hang out and talk, and it would give you a reason to reread Throne of Glass.
I
I'm
missed it.
just
And he wasn't
saying.
even my favorite. Dorkin was my favorite, but lately it's been like I miss Dorian so much I could just start to cry if I think about it for too long. I miss Adian. I miss Kale even. People are gonna be shocked. Like, how do you miss Kale? I like Kale, guys. I do. I like him. I didn't until I read the book Tower of Dawn and realized I'm married to a Kale. Like, you get his internal stuff and you're like, oh my God, there's nothing wrong with Kale. You guys shut up.
Love
Small,
it.
but I miss Dorian the most. I miss Dorian the most.
Love it. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's an intruder alert.
You guys, we have Jenny Holiday here to talk about her latest book, Canadian Boyfriend. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for
We're
having
very
me.
excited. So the first thing we usually ask our guests is, can you give us like a quick elevator pitch of the book for just in case anybody doesn't know about
Yeah, I'm so bad at this. And, I should
it?
expect it because everyone asks it every interview. It is about a woman who, as a teenager, has a chance encounter with a boy at the Mall of America he's in town for hockey, playing a hockey game. And she's having a tough time socially at school for a lot of reasons. And she proceeds to kind of invent a fictional version of this boy and calls him her Canadian boyfriend and kind of uses him both as a diary, because she writes him letters that she doesn't send him, and as an excuse to get out of social events. Like, I can't go to prom because my boyfriend from Canada can't come. And then years later, for what the great Sarah McLean likes to call romance reasons, they run into each other in real life. And he's both everything that she imagined and nothing like she imagined.
I
I love
love
it. I
romance
love that.
reasons as a
Yeah.
reason for things.
Yeah.
It makes
Well, I
me
should
so
say, I'm
happy.
not
Better
sure.
reason than romance reasons.
Yeah. And that comes from the Fated Mates podcast. And I don't know if it was Sarah or Jen who actually coined that, but that's where I first heard that phrase. And I thought it was delightful.
It
Yeah, for
is.
sure. Okay. So I read that you started writing at 9 when a teacher handed you a notebook and told you and your classmates to start writing short stories, right?
Yeah, my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Leathers, who was like the greatest teacher of all time.
Oh,
Yeah,
but
she
I
had it.
heard you
She,
were a little morbid.
yeah, I used to write. I wrote. They were all like either kind of murderous. There's a murderer on the loose in the neighborhood, or like horror stories, alien type things, like not friendly aliens, not ET. But they would often end because I can still remember. I never really knew how to end a book, so I would often have the ending be the protagonist woke up from a dream, and oh, what a relief, it was all a dream. So I kind of had the happy ending thing down before I had the genre down.
Was cackling reading that because it was like I hadn't really killed off my dad.
Like one of the story that kind of is most emblematic was the protagonist, who was me. Everybody, including her best friend Joyce. I used to give my best, no offense to anyone named Joyce, but I used to give my friends in the stories that I wrote, even though they weren't about me, they were kind of about me, like names that I didn't like because I thought then I would be somehow cooler. I don't know, because growing up named Jenny, there was 100 million of us in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joyce, my best friend, and my sister and my dad got murdered in that story. And
Oh
only my mom and I survived. But then I woke up, thought, phew, everyone's still alive.
How did your dad feel about this story?
I don't know. I don't know if he probably doesn't remember, but I still have it in a spiral notebook somewhere.
Oh
Oh my
my
God,
gosh,
I
that's so
love
special.
that. So how did you go from that to romance?
It wasn't a very direct path. I didn't read romance until I was an adult. The sort of iconic story or emblematic stories of people stealing their mom's Harlequins, that wasn't me because my mom didn't read romance. She read a lot. She was a librarian. We read a lot growing up, but romance just kind of wasn't her thing. She was more into the murder mysteries and the,
That's how my mom is, yeah.
grisly Scandinavian thrillers and stuff like that. So I didn't really read romance until I was probably in my 30s, but I at that point was working as a writer, not fiction, but I like my day jobs were all writing jobs. And then when I did discover romance, it was like an immediate love affair. I started reading it like, you know, I was
have you been
was
on my the, life
yes yeah. exactly. So, and I started with Harlequin historicals from my library had one of those spinny things, you know, and they had all the Harlequin the little books on it. Oh, those Harlequin historicals like hooked me in. Anyway, so I think at one point I sort of naively thought, okay, well, I'm a writer already. How hard can this be? And that's the part where like the Greek gods smite me because in fact it was very hard. But yeah, that's kind of the short version. It got less hard and eventually now I sold a book.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Erin liked to tell people before that she's just not a historical romance girly until she started, like until she read one and she was like, oh, I'm a historical romance girly.
I always say anytime Dana from Forever, she recommends like a historical romance. I'm like, oh, I'm not really like a historical romance girly. And then I'm just like, I'll just try it. I'll just try it. And now I'm starting to think maybe I am. Maybe I'm just lying to myself. So.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of like the great and also sneaky thing about romance is there's so much of it that you can think, okay, I'm going to focus on my one thing that I like because there's so much of it. You can do that.
Yeah.
But then something sneaks in and you're like, oh crap, now I guess I have to start reading sports romances or whatever.
I had no idea that I would care about sports romances. Like for truly. And then I don't know.
She's not a sports girly.
I'm not either.
And it's like I've read a few sports romances and it's like I could do this. Yeah.
And you can say the same thing about tropes that you think you don't like. You know, somebody slips you like fill in the blank, you know,
a
love triangle, and you're like, I don't like love triangles. And then you're like, oh, dang it.
It's not even a romance thing, but it's shocking to me every time I read a heist story, how excited I get about a heist story. And I'm like, I didn't even realize this about myself, that I love a good heist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
It's so fun. That's the joy of reading.
True.
Where did the story for Canadian Boyfriend come from?
I don't really have like a great story about that, other than that almost all of my books start with kind of like one sort of little baby scene, not even a scene, like an image, like a little moment. And it doesn't always make it into the book. It often does. But in this case, it was this idea of this woman, and I didn't even know who she was yet, teaching a dance class and seeing this kind of phantom from her past walk into this very pedestrian suburban dance studio. And she falls over her own feet. And I thought that was my kind of initial vision of the book, or the first image that came into my mind. And like, I should back up. I had been thinking about the concept of like the fictional Canadian boyfriend / girlfriend already. So I kind of had that in my head, but then I married that with this idea of this ghost from the past showing up again.
You're showing up. So you didn't have a Canadian boyfriend when you were a kid?
No, but I did have, I had a friend in middle school who met a boy from Winnipeg at the mall. I grew up in Minneapolis. She met a boy from Winnipeg at the Mall of America. And like, they just spent the day at the mall together. Nothing happened. I wouldn't say that he was her Canadian boyfriend, but they did write paper letters to each other, because that's how old I am, for a while. And then it fizzled out.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I mean, the idea of a Canadian boyfriend is not a bad idea, because like, I don't want to go to all these social events. I can't. I'm not going to go without my Canadian boyfriend. I'm sorry.
Like, and I think like, you know, the it's sort of a joke in some pop culture. Like, I think it originally, I try to forget where it came from. Some people say 30 Rock, and I guess it's also in Avenue Q, the Broadway show. So it pops up in a few little places as kind of like a joke that's so become kind of a meme.
I love it though.
Love it.
Like,
yeah.
I'm always looking for excuses to get out of social interactions. So I'm gonna just start using that. I live in California, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
My Canadian boyfriend. I have family in Canada. So, I mean, I could have visited and
even more credible.
Exactly.
Yeah, see? So you have a pretty extensive catalog of books up your sleeve, and you've got a lot of our favorite, like, you've got some Regency stories, you've got some Bridesmaids Gone Wild, and then our cartoon cover contemporaries. Is there a branch of romance that you enjoy writing over others? Like, do you have a favorite? Or
yeah, the kind of contemporary rom-coms are my favorite to write. I love historicals, reading them, and I have a historical coming out in a couple months, which is kind of like a return to my past, because I started with those Harlequin historicals as a reader, but they're so much harder because you have to
I
actually
can
know
imagine.
actual things.
Yeah. If you set it in like a specific time period, then you have to know this is the fashion of the period and this is the,
This is
history
what
of
the
that
roads
time.
were like, and this is how they
Right.
got around, and
Yeah.
this is common words they used. Yeah. Where with a contemporary, you're like, I know how people talk right now.
Yeah. And my contemporaries tend to be people sitting around talking about their feelings for 300 pages, which is I enjoy. So,
Yeah. I'm
we need more of
with
that,
you.
honestly.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, what, why does Rory call him Mike Martin throughout
Yeah,
the
I don't know. So I actually addressed this on Instagram because there was a bookstagrammer who made a reel where she
Oh, I completely missed
put
that.
forth a theory. And she was right, even though. So I'll tell you what her theory was. Her theory was in the movie 16 Candles. Have you seen it? Are you too young? The protagonist calls Jake, the boyfriend figure, she calls him Jake Ryan the whole time. She calls it the Jake Ryan effect. And I have seen 16 Candles, but I hadn't like thought about that. But the theory that she put forth, which is basically right, is that he has almost a sort of a mythic status in her mind.
That's what I said
Right?
that.
So, I mean, to back up a little bit, I just wrote it that way. And I didn't really think about why. I just kind of wrote it that way. And I got to the end and I thought, does this make sense? Like, why did I do this? And then I started to think through that she actually has a sort of fictional version of him in her mind, and she doesn't even know his last name when they first meet. He's just Mike.
Right.
And then she meets him and she finds out his full name and he's a real person, but he's kind of still two people in her mind. He kind of has this almost like fictional quality to him.
Yeah.
So she calls him Mike Martin. That's kind of how I
That was
justified it after
kind
the
of my
fact anyway.
theory. I
But
was
boy, a
like,
lot
does
of
she
people did
make him
not care
like
for that.
it was just I was just like, this is slightly confusing to me because I would think like, especially near the end when they're, when it's the end of the book, I'd be like, why is she still calling him Mike Martin? But
Well,
that
it's
makes
because he's
sense.
fantastical
She
in her
doesn't call him
head.
that to his face, or
Right,
with
right.
she only calls him that in her head. And it's funny because people really, I would say most people really didn't care for that, but the people who liked it really liked it. And I will also add that growing up, Jenny in the 80s, a lot of people called me by my first and last name because they had to differentiate me from the 800 other Jennies in my
And
school.
Mike is
That's,
not
Mike
the
is
least common
very
name. Yeah.
similar. Yeah, that's a good
Mike,
point.
actually, I looked up the most common names for both Canadian boys in the year he would have been born. And Mike, I don't remember if it was one or two or three. It was right at the top. So I purposely wanted him to have a generic
Yeah,
name.
that makes sense. I like
No,
that.
I love that. And I feel vindicated because I was like, is he like celebrity status in her mind? Kind of, not celebrity, but like she's making him bigger than, like you said, mythifying him, making him this
Yeah.
mythical thing. Hey,
Good
I
job,
like that.
Mandy.
Thank you. Virtual high five. So we have a couple of questions that we always ask our guests. It's a fair warning, this is where everything you've ever consumed, every book you've ever read, every TV show or movie you've ever watched is going to leave your brain.
Right.
So we have a segment that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. Rory was,
Yeah.
wasn't that your fictional
Rory
girlfriend? I
was
think it
my
was
fictional
last week.
girlfriend that week. Yeah.
Oh.
So, do you have any characters either in your books or in any kind of media that you've ever consumed where you're like, that is my fictional character? That's my boo. That is who I love.
Everybody back off.
That's my
That's mine.
crush. Everybody back off. I got matching tattoos with mine this week. So,
That's a good question. It's hard for me to fixate. It's hard for me not to fixate on what I'm currently consuming, which is,
hey, that's
but you know, he's kind of terrible. So I kind of don't want to say him.
I
Like,
love
oh, terrible
we love
who?
terrible men.
No, he's too terrible, but I'm watching the Netflix TV show One Day,
Oh, I haven't
which
seen this.
follows a pair of best friends who almost have a one night stand the night that they meet, but they don't. But then they become best friends, and it shows the same day a year apart, starting in like 1980 something when they graduate from university and going forward 15, 20 years. It's based on a book, and there was a previous movie version of it, and now it's a TV adaptation that I'm not quite done with. I will tell you, it is not a traditional romance. You will not be satisfied if you're looking for like a traditional romance,
Oh no.
but they're both such like lovely people underneath all their junk that I kind of like, you know what? They're like my fictional, I want to be their best friend. I want to be like the third best friend.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fictional bestie. We've had fictional besties. Yeah.
Emma and Dex. Emma and Dex and Jenny. Does that sound good?
Yeah. That actually goes really well together.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes
perfectly. You guys are besties. You're besties in my brain. Yeah.
Like, we are knighting it so. I don't, I don't know
who's
what
here
that
to
was.
Stop us. Nobody.
It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and you know who else would be good for best friends is I'm also reading a lot of like domestic thrillers. Mm-hmm. And like not even a specific one, but there's like a certain type of character in those kind of books who's like the harried mom who, you know, shit starts happening like in the neighborhood or somebody's kid is kidnapped or whatever, and she has to kind of like figure it out. Mm-hmm. And she's always underappreciated and overworked, and I think she would be like the good friend to drink wine with.
And she
I think I'm
more
in my friendship era, if you can tell.
We need more like positive, like firm female friendships, because we need that representation. We don't get enough of that in media, you know?
Agreed.
We really don't. Yeah, that she would be a good friend. I know that character. Yeah.
Yes. I am that character.
You know, she's like, now I have to take a break.
I'm so frazzled.
Yeah. And, but, you know, she's like, I have to take a break from my high-powered law career to solve this friggin' mystery.
Yeah.
Because somebody's the neighbor's kid that's gone missing
before
it's
mine.
Right, exactly.
She usually has like a useless husband, right?
Ugh, he's always at work, or he's, I don't know.
Or maybe he actually did it, you know? Maybe he's like the surprise.
Ooh. The twist.
Bad guy.
Oh, I love it.
That's a good twist.
So, kind of along the same vein as a fictional boyfriend, we have somebody pretty special narrating the audio.
Oh my gosh, oh. I know.
Can you, first of all, can you tell everybody who it is? And second of all, what was that process like? Like, were you involved
in
it?
How did you feel when you found
how
out?
How did you feel? Like, all the things.
I'm still not
all
over
the
it
things.
To answer that question. Yeah, so it is Joshua Jackson. And how did it come about? When the audiobook was in the works, the audio producer, as would be normal, asked me if I had any thoughts about narrators. And I completely, like, thinking I was making a joke, like 99% thinking I was making a joke, said, how great would it be if we got a literal Canadian boyfriend to narrate this book in the format of like a celebrity who's well known and is Canadian? And I, you know, I was like, Ryan Gosling's too busy being Ken. You know, what about Joshua Jackson? And I was, again, like, thought I was kidding. But then I looked him up and saw that he had narrated a thriller by a Canadian author that was published by Audible Originals Canada. And Joshua Jackson has kind of over the years been a supporter of Canadian film and TV. Mm-hmm. So I, again, thinking I was joking, said, you know, this was during the actor's strike too. I was like, what else is he going to do? He can't film, he can't work, right. But they are allowed to narrate audiobooks. Ha ha ha. And then the producer like decided to ask him. So that was surprising to me to begin with, that they would, you know, I don't know anything about the production of audiobooks, but I would assume that he would be too big of an ask for my book. But she went for it, and then he went for it, and I know nothing about it. I haven't interacted with him at all, but yeah, he went for it.
That is
so it just feels
cool.
Like, yeah, it just
you
feels like
kind of just manifested it for yourself, and we are big fans of manifesting here.
That is so surreal.
So cool.
I know. It's bananas.
Okay, so authors out there, if you know your audio production team asks you if you have a somebody in mind, don't
say it. Just, even if it's Ben Barnes, say it, because Ben Barnes will actually narrate your audiobook.
Who knows? My God.
Well, and the next book that publisher is doing features a kind of washed up rock star as the main character. And I was like, who can I ask them to cast for that audiobook? I mean, again, I'm kidding, but you know,
but
I thought I was kidding.
I mean,
last
you were
time.
Kidding last time.
Yeah, I know.
I am terrified of like asking for anything because I'm the oldest daughter and it's a sickness, but also the worst they can say to you is no.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I used to be like that, and I've kind of gradually grown out of it, and I'm to the point where I'm fully grown out of it now. So I feel like you can't go asking for crazy things all the time, or you just sound entitled. But what I have told myself over the years is, if you don't ask, you're never going to get it.
Right.
So I've asked for plenty of things that I haven't gotten, and okay, whatever, I move on. I'm still here. I didn't die from the asking and the getting a no. So
and then you got Joshua Jackson to marry your
Yeah. I don't know. That is so cool. And also,
I don't know
like
if you Go if you ahead. listen to the audiobook, but it's he does such an amazing job. First of all, the production of the audiobook is top notch, like the seamless editing. He was not in the same studio as she was. They were
I don't know
separate
how they do
studios,
that. It's
separate directors.
crazy.
It's stitched together so beautifully.
Yeah, it really
I
is.
just love it. But he does such a good job. He has sort of a sadness to his voice, like a sort of heaviness that I just think fits the character so well. But at the same time, and this is not a criticism of him, it's about me. I just I'm constantly going, I'm listening to Joshua Jackson. Joshua Jackson is reading my book. It's like I've split into it's like the Mike Martin. I split into two consciousnesses. And one is like, oh my gosh, I love this book. He's inhabiting this character. The other one is
It's
this is
Joshua
Joshua
Jackson.
Jackson.
I
I
did that
love
with
that.
there was like an I Love Lucy adaptation thing, and it was starring like Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball, and I couldn't get into it because I was like, this is Nicole Kidman. It's not
It's
like I
not
can
Lucy.
still she did the voice perfectly.
She
Like
was
she got
great.
Lucille Ball's voice
But
insanely
also,
well.
it's Nicole
But
Kidman.
she looked like Nicole Kidman. I was like, Lucille Ball didn't look like that. She didn't look like Nicole Kidman. She looked like Lucille Ball. They needed a nobody. They needed the person who does the Universal Studios. It's like the other side of
Yes.
happiness person or something like that. I can't remember her handle, but they needed her.
Oh my
So I
gosh.
feel you on that. That makes
And
sense.
I would also, if I may, like to just say that I also think Emily Ellett, who narrated Rory, did a great job. And I feel a little bad because everyone is losing their mind over Joshua Jackson,
Oh,
like
but
in
she
general,
Oh,
not
that's
here.
true.
And
Right, but
she does a wonderful job.
she does, and she like you said, like he embodies Mike, and she really embodies Rory. Like I feel like if I heard her voice on the street, I'd be like, Rory, hello, hi, yes. Like, I'm sorry, you're
My
not
fictional
Emily anymore.
girlfriend.
I really am. Like, I fell in love with you in this book, so we're friends now. That's just how it
All
works.
right, we've kept you almost our full time, but before we let you go, we have one more question that we always ask. And Karen may have other questions. I'm just going to go with this one. We know we love your books. We know we're going to recommend your books, but we want to know, like, when you are not writing, what are you reading? What specific books would you recommend? Because our TBRs are endless already, but we always like to add to them.
And so in romance, I am an evergreen fan of like my two top romance go-to authors are Molly O'Keefe, who also writes as M. O'Keefe, although she's kind of moved more towards women's fiction when she writes under Molly Fader, but one of my all-time favorite books, like period, the book that will just slay you is called Everything We Left Unsaid. And it's actually, I think, like maybe the third book in a series, but it works as a standalone. But the previous two books do not work as a standalone. So you either have to
Okay.
commit to like one, two, three, or three.
Or just three.
But they're all great. But Everything I Left Unsaid, it just is like one of those books that you know how like sometimes you put a book down and you just feel so like trampled that you just have to like stare out the window for a while to like return your soul to your body. That's what this book is like.
Oh, I love that.
It's not a rom-com, it's not like my books. It's quite dark. Not like in a dark romance as a label kind of way, but it's heavy. And I also really love Alexis Hall. Boyfriend Material, I think, was my most recent favorite of his. But I also like my go-to is the How to Bang a Billionaire trilogy,
I
which I think is
just love the
so,
name of that. I
yeah. I
know.
mean, it's so clever, but it's just also so big-hearted and poignant. So those are my kind of like two go-to romance authors. But I'm also like deep into a domestic. I don't know if you'd call it thriller, domestic suspense. I'm deep into that right now. Like that's my main thing. As far as specific titles, The Family Upstairs by Lisa Jewell, and for a extremely complicated heroine that some people might call unlikable, but I would not, Blood Orange by Harriet Tice. These are all British. There's like this British kind of legal thriller, although
I
Family
love
Upstairs
it.
is not legal, genre that I just can't get enough of.
I've got a
Love
family
that.
upstairs on my shelf. I need to read it.
I think it scratches the same itch as romance. I think there's kind of a like woman who wins in the end after a journey has to happen. But instead of it being like an emotional journey toward whatever self-acceptance, it's like, let's make sure that the neighbor's kid doesn't get murdered kind of thing.
Right. This book is not that, but have you read Behind Her Eyes by
No.
Sarah Penborough?
I'll check it out.
Oh, it had a twist at the end that I did not see coming at all, and I am still upset, and it's been like 3 years.
Yeah, I never see the twists. Like, I'm always
Yeah.
shocked, which I think is
This
why I
one's
like these books, because I also, my brain just doesn't work that way, so I don't see them coming.
right.
I'd
Right.
never be able to write anything like that, so I just am always like,
No.
oh,
This one's very
that's
psychological thriller, and it's just, oh, it's so upsetting. It's so upsetting.
But I also, sorry, you start, once you start talking about books, I can't stop. The best, so I kept track of my reading in 2023, and it was the first time I've ever successfully done that through a whole year. Like, I always fall off the wagon usually. But when I went back and looked at my, I just did a spreadsheet. My favorite book of 2023 was not genre fiction at all. It was Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, which is, I guess it's literary fiction, but it's also a tremendous page turner. Like, you cannot put it down. Highly recommend that book.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, that one's
But
going
it
on
will
my
also like
TBR too.
devastate. It will
Everything's
also devastate you.
going on the list.
I do. If it's gonna hurt me, I want to read it. It's just, it's a sickness. I can't get well. I don't want to get well.
So before we let you go, we have to know what is coming next. What are you working on? I know you have something coming out later this year, right?
Yes, April 23rd, I have a Regency coming out called Earl's Trip, which is about a bunch of Earl. It's actually it's kind of like my pandemic book. It's believe it or not, Ted Lasso inspired. I didn't watch Ted Lasso until the pandemic. I was a bit late to that. So it's
Same.
about this group of Earl friends who go on a trip every year, and surprise, for romance reasons, shenanigans ensue, and it doesn't go as they planned. But they're Ted and the Diamond Dogs. They're like the non-toxic masculinity
Oh,
aristocrats
I
of
love
yore.
it. I
Yeah.
love
They
that. I
sit
love
around and talk
it.
about their feelings a lot. It's very historically accurate. And they
And
have
then
good
talking
teeth
about their
and good
feelings, I'm
hygiene.
gonna swoon.
Good teeth and good hygiene too in the
Yeah.
Regency era. I
Yeah. You know,
mean,
people always say, like, oh, there was never so many single dukes, and they didn't have good teeth, and they didn't have good hygiene. And they're 100% right. But I am.
romance
Not in my
reasons.
books.
Exactly.
It's my book, and I can write what I want to.
Exactly.
So that's coming out in April. And then I have, so Gretchen, the dance studio owner from Canadian Boyfriend, is getting a book in January of 2025. That's the one where I'm thinking about what washed up rock star can I
Oh my
request to
God.
narrate the audio book.
I love. So we get to go back to the Canadian boyfriend universe.
Yeah, they're
Yay.
really not related.
Right.
Although
But
Rory, your girlfriend does make a very brief appearance.
that's what Karen, like we both, but Karen especially lives for a cameo.
I
Like, even
do.
if it's a small one, it's like
I
an
love
inside
a
joke.
cameo. Yeah. It's like I have a joke with the
It's like
author.
a little inside joke, Easter egg, right?
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
the best. It's so much fun. Well, we are here to inform you that now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all book releases from
Oh,
here until
sure. Happy
eternity.
to. It
Just
was
so
in
you
the
know.
fine print. The
Yeah.
very,
In
very
case
fine
you missed
print.
that, very tiny.
Oh,
But thank you so much for hanging out with us. This was fun. And
thanks for
everybody,
having us.
go pick up a copy of Canadian Boyfriend. It is out now. If you're an audiobook person, pick up the audiobook because it is excellently narrated. It's like a duet narration. So he says all of his lines, she says all of her lines, and it's masterfully edited together. I can't even imagine how much work that
I
is.
love it when they do that.
So
I know.
cool. Thank you so much,
Thank
Jenny.
you. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you
Okay, thanks. Good
soon.
night, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
That was so fun.
That was so fun. I love hearing about all the behind the scenes stuff, especially the manifesting that she did, getting Joshua
Yes.
Jackson. We are all about that.
Remind me. Remind me when my book comes out and they're like, hey, we're wanting to make this
Yeah.
into a movie, that I
Just
specifically
throw names at me.
Googled, how do
How
you
do we describe?
describe Tom Hiddleston's face, the shape of Tom Hiddleston's face? So when they're like, who's going to play name redacted for whatever, I can say,
I
was Tom Hiddleston doing anything this week?
wrote it for with him in mind, so
Literally wrote
that'd
it
be
for, and
really
I'll play the female lead. Don't worry.
That's exactly
They have
how
to
it
share a
would be.
bedroll at one point. Oh no.
Oh, that's so
Oh,
terrible. How
please.
awful.
And then my other book, it's Adam Driver. So I gotta
I'm
write a Ben Barnes book and I can meet the trifecta.
That's all we
Just
got. Here's the thing is that it doesn't even have to be your book because obviously we will be on each other's sets. So it would be your book or my. We have double the opportunity here. Just don't forget that.
Manifestation, folks.
It works.
It works.
It works. Hey, we got Victoria Aveyard, guys.
Let me look up something. Like, we're gonna have to put the Jupiter music. Remember that? We haven't done Jupiter. Like, we haven't talked about Jupiter music in so long.
I think I did it in Jason's episode, maybe. I did it recently, actually. I can't remember which episode, but I did it recently. And I was like, oh my god, the Jupiter music.
So I listened to Stassi Schroeder-Clark's podcast, right? And she has been talking about this thing called a human design. And it tells you like what type of person you are, right? And it's like based on your place of birth and the hour and minute you were born. And it tells you like there's manifestors, there's generators, blah, blah, blah. So manifesting generators, which is what I am, combine the sustaining life force of generators and the initiating power of manifestors. They possess an extraordinary capacity to bring ideas into reality rapidly and efficiently. They possess an innate ability to envision and execute. So, I mean, I'm just saying, based on my birth chart.
I mean, either that or you're a witch. I'm okay with either.
Both. So let me see if I can tell you what the types are. Generator, manifesting generator, projector, manifestor, reflector.
Okay. Is there like a quiz? Or
yes. Well, it's not, I'll send you the link and you can you have to know like your date, obviously, you know, your birthday, but like time of your birth.
I know when I was born.
City of birth, all of that. And it'll tell you.
Okay. I'm ready. How quick
Let's
is
see.
It?
It should be
right like away.
Three minutes.
All right. What's my name? Right? It's not exactly that sound, but. We've got good sound.
Yeah.
I remember our Jupiter music. I remember I did it recently and I was like, oh, this is cute. I forgot about this.
Throwing it back.
Just like I really feel like it was Jason's episode, which is funny because we're talking about bringing back Fangirl Freestyle that episode too.
Yeah. We're just really trying to throw it back in that episode.
Love it. Okay. Oh, I have to put in my email.
Yeah, because they will send you emails.
View my chart. It's not... Oh, there. Okay. Here we go. Where do I... Oh, I'm scrolling. Want to know what it says?
What?
Manifesting generator.
Hey! Hey, bestie.
Twinsies.
So this is why all of the people who come on our podcast become New York Times bestsellers. Obviously on their talent, but we also manifest it for you. You're welcome.
New York Times, USA Today. I mean...
All of the above.
All the things. We
You're
believe
welcome, guys.
In...
We're in your corner.
We are absolutely in your corner. Movie deals, TV deals, multi-book deals, all the deals, all the things.
All of it.
We're here for you. Yep. Because apparently we have this power.
We got the power.
We will use it responsibly. We promise.
Yes. Yes. And when Tom Hiddleston is starring in a movie based off of my book soon, just know that we manifested this.
Oh my god,
he can bring his bestie Sebastian Stan.
Thank you
to I set
appreciate yeah. that I mean yeah I wrote one of my books, one of the female leads is Florence Pugh. I wrote the character with Florence in mind because
I love it.
I love her.
How could you not?
She's perfect. I love her and I want to either be her best friend or her girlfriend. I don't care.
Yeah, either one. Whichever. Take
I just
either.
Want to be in her life. Okay, I just want to be in her life. We're manifesting now that we will be a yes. part of Florence Pugh's life. I'm good with that.
She knows Harry Styles.
That is true. That is true.
Oh my god.
Manifest all the things here.
He yelled at her, even though it was on like a movie set and it was planned. She was sitting there.
Oh my god.
Kill
we're
me
so
now.
We're so chaotic, guys. I love it.
Anyways.
All right. Shall we give them our announcements for next
yeah.
week?
Yeah.
Next week, friends, we will have...
We have a flirty little secret.
We do.
You see what I did there?
We do. It's actually the name of a book. It's a debut author. Her name is, I want to say Jessica Lappe, but I don't know if that's correct.
That's what I thought.
I don't know for sure, so we'll find out next week.
We'll find out before we introduce her next week.
She's a debut author of Flirty Little Secret from our besties over at Forever. We follow a I think it's a high school guidance counselor who has a secret online life giving advice. And she meets the new teacher who apparently is very hot and things happen. I haven't read it yet, but I will be reading it this week. And I'm really excited. And she also has anxiety. And I think one of the things that we said was like, as rom-com lovers who also have anxiety and present much more confident online than in real life.
And we actually are.
We will absolutely relate to this.
I don't know who I become when we put these headphones on.
I have no idea. This is not who I am.
This is not me at all, guys.
But yeah, so very much feel like I'm going to relate to this main character.
Yes.
So excited.
Related question. Did you have any hot teachers in school?
Did I have any hot teachers in school?
I did. I had a hot math teacher and I had a hot history teacher in college.
I feel like I shouldn't say anything because I'm Facebook friends with like one of my former teachers, several of my former teachers. And I don't want to be like,
I am too. But that's not one of them.
I don't know if I want to mention anything. I don't know. I can't remember. Like, I can barely remember what I did this morning. So
fair.
I probably had in college, probably had some hot TAs. I can't recall any like teachers that I crushed on.
I had a hot math teacher in high school. He's a geometry teacher. And then I had a hot history teacher in college. And I took his class. I took his class three times, not because he was hot, but because two of the classes were like required. And he was the only teacher who taught at night. And I had a full time job. And then he did like an indigenous history class. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Macon, where we have the Okmulgee, and that like there's a big area here.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's really fascinating. And it could be an elective that I had to take anyway. So
yeah.
And he's a really good teacher. So
but he was and he was too. Bonus he was hot, that too. He was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week, friends, Jessica, I hope I'm saying it right, Jessica Lepi, we'll find out along with y'all. And that is what we have for you for now. We have more secrets, but I'm not saying anything.
We got some like Victoria Aveyard level secrets coming, guys. Like, you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
We got some pretty insane secrets.
Yeah, and listen, if you have been a longtime listener of the podcast and a longtime follower of our Instagram, there are hints everywhere. Literally,
we already told you that
everywhere.
I told you. We told you.
Literally everywhere. The clues are everywhere. I promise you. And
we've
I
got
feel
some really
like,
cool repeat offenders coming. Several
I really feel
really
like,
cool repeat offenders.
I really feel like it's not hard to figure out. If you just mm-mm. look a little bit, like it's
if you
not
know
hard
us,
to
if you pay attention to the things we're saying.
Yeah. So lots of fun coming up.
Are we ready for spiel? Yeah.
For spiel. All right, friends. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, which also houses all of our episodes, as well as our blog, so you can read and listen. We give you lots of experiences.
All the options.
Here. If you are interested in early access, full video episodes, exclusive bonus content, early previews of announcements, head on over to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to subscribe. And we also have merch. You can shop our merch store. Head to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. Remember, once March is over, the limited edition Intruder Alert shirt with all of our guests
I
on
really
the back.
I really have to go order mine.
Will be gone. Okay? So you want to get to the shop before March is over. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that.
Accept it.
In our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love your words.
I know. Written reviews are so freaking cool.
So much fun. I feel like my voice is like slowly disappearing as I'm talking.
Yeah.
So sorry, guys. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And you know what part of it is that I do this whole spiel.
I know. We need to share the note file and just...
It's fine. Normally it's fine. I'm just casually dying this week, so that's all. Once you have finished supporting us and following us on social media and the podcast, you can head over and do some self-care and shopping with our internet besties. First stop will be herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then, once you've got all your artsy pin goodies, you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes for you to choose from. They can't stack, but either one will get you 10% off. We don't care which one you use. You use whichever one makes your little heart happy. You can use either code Mandy10 or Karen10 and get 10% off. But you got to make sure you spell Karen right. And I'm not going to do that legwork for you. Okay. You got to know how to spell Karen by now.
You got to do it. Otherwise, you will get 0% off. And that is sad.
And our looks of shame.
Mm-hmm. We've perfected them.
Oh, yeah. She's a mom and I'm an aunt. Okay.
Exactly. Once you have done that, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com to get some tea and get cozy. Use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in Fangirl. It's FANGIRLTEA.
Then you're going to go and head to amberdlewis.com. You're going to sign up for her newsletter. You're going to sign up for her Patreon. And you're going to buy three of everything in the shop because you need to get on my level, okay? I have like multiples of everything. So use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off of your purchase at amberdlewis.com. She's got new work coming, guys.
Yes, she does.
I want to be the first to know.
And then once you have finished supporting the internet besties, it is time to support the show husband, even though he messed with Mandy's microphone stand.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
We'll see. If he fixes it by next week, then we can continue to support
him. By next week it's fixed, then we'll keep... we're going to head to... once you're done with this episode, you're going to go listen to The Paranormal Mind. We talk about spooky stuff and true crime and all things weird. And go like and rate and review them. Follow them, The Paranormal Mind, on social media. You're also going to head to searchersbelieve.com, grab some merch. Use code FANGIRL10 for 10% off. Follow Searchers Believe on everything. It will have been a week now that you're hearing this, but in our timeline today, they released a short of one of the places that they went to on their RV road trip this past month. And they were in this like old, like Western style hotel that's been around for a long time. And they had playing cards. And one of them was blindfolded and listening to white noise. And they would call out any words that they heard. And they were able to call out whatever card was picked up.
That's crazy.
It was weird. Like at one point, Josh just flung all the cards on the ground face down. And another guy came and picked one up and held it. And then the person said, I think it was like 8. And he flipped the card over and it was an 8.
That's insane.
Like it's really weird. And it happened multiple times where every time they picked up a card at random, he would call it out. Yeah. Shivers. It gives me the heebie-jeebs. So if you guys want to see that, go to follow Searchers Believe, follow Lights Out, IND, follow The Paranormal Mind. It's everywhere. Follow Born of Josh. Yeah. And go shopping merch designed by yours truly at searchersbelieve.com. Use code FANGIRL10 for that 10% off.
Yay. And that, my friends,
that was
with the incoherent FANGIRL.
Karen's going to go take a nap now.
I'm fine. It's fine. Thanks for listening, y'all.
We love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.